Thank you, John. Hey, everyone. It's crazy beautiful to be part of a church that is, it's so evident that there's a knitting of hearts, and not perfect hearts, we know, but our hearts are knitting, and it's a beautiful thing, especially when we speak into each other's lives, and it's not only important and really cool when things line up, but it's just vital that we speak. You know, and it is so encouraging when we do speak, when we step out, like many of you did tonight, because there's something sacrificial that comes with sharing something that you don't know if it's you don't know if it's God talking to you don't know if it's, and then eventually you just keep quiet, and then someone else says what you wanted to say, and I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that, but there's something that builds your faith when you have something and you bring it, not only for yourself, but for other people too. Other people that we knit hearts with, that we build church with as living stones. And it's a beautiful thing as we do that together as a community. So just for those of you that don't know me, I'm part of the eldership team along with Bob and John and Benny. And I'm married to Jax, who's not here today. She's doing her granny duties with our third grandchild. And next month, the fourth one, so a girl this time, but enough of that. Getting right into what I want to share this afternoon. I was at Home Affairs, or I went to Home Affairs in George. No. Come on, we're Christians. Come on. Anyway, I went to Home Affairs, I planned it, I walked past a few times just to figure out when the queue was at its minimal, and I kind of timed a few meetings and things, and I got there at just the right time. There was no queue, I walked right in. It was, yeah, I mean, that's planning for you. Only to be told that they're offline. And I will tell you guys that it's quite disappointing when you have all these expectations and you get to the counter and really excited that you're the first one there and someone tells you that you're offline, system offline. And I really started thinking about that, and I've chewed on that a couple of times, and then yesterday I started thinking about it a lot, and I got back into it this morning as part of my prep. And while I was doing that, I Googled on the interweb just some of the things that institutions or organizations or like the George branch of Home Affairs would communicate that there's something not plugged in or not connected. System offline, please be patient, was one of them. Apologies for the inconvenience. Our system is currently down. Services temporarily unavailable. No network connection. We're experiencing technical difficulties. Please check back later. Out of order. Limited services available. The terminal is currently not in use. System restart required. Like, these are all real things. And as I was looking at these excuses, I started thinking about the people working in the branch. These folk were well trained. When I walked into the branch, there were signs around with processes alerting people what to do, where. There were still arrows on the floor. There were lines to show people where to stand, what to do. There were chains, chairs. Everything was organized. Everything was in place. But they weren't plugged in. Angas, nux, no plugged in. Rendering all of the stuff, the training, the signs, the lines, the everything, the preparation, rendering all of that useless because they weren't plugged in. And I want to say, we're not that much different. us as people, as individuals, and as a church. We really aren't that much different. We talk the talk. We say the right things. We make the right gestures. Hold our hands like Christians do. We do all the right things that would make us look like something, but maybe not. All of those things are essential. The processes are essential. The lines are essential. The training is essential. But by far, the most essential thing is seriously to be plugged in. If you're not plugged in, you're not going anywhere. And I think with us, not I think, I know, that a lot of the things that we do are good. A lot of the things that we present, nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with a lot of the works that we present. I was being facetious when I was talking about things we do and the way we stand. Actually, that was probably not cool. But we often do present ourselves and the way we serve and the things we do in a way that is possibly not pleasing to God. Because we ourselves are not plugged in. Where the essential for us is to be plugged in to the living God. To be plugged into the living God. And I know it's hard for some of us. Maybe even for all of us. It's hard because we start thinking about being plugged in, and a lot of what we sang tonight and a lot of the words that came through relate to exactly what I'm going to speak about. And sometimes we can even get anxious about it. Like, am I really? Am I really plugged in? Am I really abiding? Am I really in tune and in sync with the living God? Now, I just believe that God, in that, He doesn't want us to be anxious about it. He doesn't want us to be anxious about trying and striving to get all of these things right or to do all of those things. He doesn't want us to be anxious. He, as the living God, wants to bring peace. He wants to bring life. And He wants to bring love to us, to His children. And I think we overcomplicate it sometimes. And when I say we, I've started with me, because you guys will, you know me by now. When I preach stuff, it's God that is speaking to me first. And because I'm plugged into you guys, I'm going like, if it's for me, it's for them, for sure. So I'm not alone on this. And I want to turn to John 15, verse 1 to 11. I was going to read straight out of my Bible, but the writing's small, and the light's not that lekker here. So John 15, and I'm going to read 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Sure, that scripture is so loaded. I feel like reading it again, and maybe again, and say, let's focus and read it again. It's really so loaded. And I just felt that God was challenging me on my availability and my online availability. Am I online? And I felt that he was challenging me to say that sometimes, boy, you're offline. So the title of my sermon is Branch Offline. And we are the branches. We are the branches. And it's such a beautiful picture. I was kind of thinking of this during worship, that actually it was downstairs. Benny was sharing a scripture that speaks about us, and there's a unity in us. And when there's love and unity, we start understanding the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love for us. And that's what we are. As branches, we're plugged into the vine. And we have this common stem, this vine, with all the branches connected to it. And because we're all connected, we may be different branches, but we start understanding the same God, and we start experiencing communion with the same God. And if you think about it, what a simple thing it is to be a branch. It's actually quite easy. It's not complicated. The branch grows out of the vine. So somewhere a seed is planted, and I've tried so hard to not get sidetracked by some of these things, these biblical concepts. But somewhere a seed is planted, and this plant begins to grow. And the nutrients, the water, all the good stuff is sent to the branches. They don't have to go and fetch it. They don't have to leave their post. They don't have to do anything. They just have to be available and plugged in to receive the sap that's transferred to them and then bear fruit. So actually all they have to do is to bear fruit. And it's such an easy thing. To me, it's as I was thinking about this, it's simple. Being a branch is actually quite easy, because in Him we find everything. In Him we live and move and have our being, as Acts 17 reminds us. So, Chonapik. Yeah, John, maybe you can help me here. So there's no responsibility but to receive the sap. And I think that sometimes we strive in our own strength to find these things. And thanks, John. I'll try not to maybe get that other one that Vachis was using. Thanks, because this thing's taller than me now. Thanks, Mpo, team effort. Yeah, that's better. Thanks, guys. And I think, I can't remember who said it, but one of the words came through, that sometimes we strive to bear fruit. We're not plugged in. There's no abiding, but we try and manufacture fruit so that we look fruity. Because we must. You know, if you want good apples, you've got to have a good apple tree. And of course, if you want to be a Christian, the fruit is Christianity and everything that goes with that. And so if we're not plugged in and we strive and we manufacture this fruit, it becomes very hard. It gets really hard. And sometimes it can be easy, because there's recognition, and because we're not plugged in, we find ourselves doing it for the wrong reason sometimes. Maybe for ourselves. And it's good. We'll get compliments. We'll be cheered on by all the right people, by each other, and we'll feel good until that fades, and then it becomes a slog. So as I was chewing on all of this, as God was pressing buttons in my own life, because as I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself, There were quite a few things that came out, and I want to share some of the thoughts that I had around abiding. The first one, and I think they're five or six maybe. The first one is that this branch life that we're speaking about is a life of absolute dependence. It is a life of absolute dependence. The branch has nothing. And it depends on the vine for everything. The vine does the work. I was actually chatting to John, Farmer John, for those of you that don't know. And it's quite an interesting conversation because it's the vine that sends the roots to go and find water, to go and find nutrients. And often the roots will travel far. I tried to find out how far, but I couldn't find a reliable source that would say how far. But the roots literally travel to go and find nutrients or to go and find water. And it is the vine that does the work, not the branches. And because the vine does the work, it means that the branches have to be fully dependent on the vine. Fully, fully, fully dependent. And that dependence takes faith. It really does. It takes faith to say, I can't do anything on my own. But it does take faith and trust. And how does God fulfill that as we open ourselves and say, I can't? He sends His Holy Spirit. Benny was speaking about that earlier on, how He sends His Holy Spirit. The branches receive the sap. And it's not every now and again. The sap doesn't come for a little bit and then it stops. And then later in the season, there's more sap coming. There's a constant flow of sap. There's a constant flow of nutrients. There's a constant flow of all that good stuff that comes through the Holy Spirit. And this relationship between the branches and the vine is a living connection. It is a living, living connection. Jesus wants us to learn to have utter dependence on Him. Utter dependence on Him. I must be the one who knows nothing. I must be the one who is nothing. I must be the one who can do nothing. And that word nothing is such an interesting word. It's so interesting because if I am something, then God can't be everything. It's such a simple thing to say and to think about. But if there's anything in me that is anything, then God can't be everything. And when I become nothing, then God can become all. But only when I become nothing. And then He can truly reveal all of Himself. The man who has something is not absolutely dependent. And we all have something. Wow, God is challenging me so much on the something that I think I have. And I can list them, eh? All the things that I think I'm good at. And God is saying, what? You don't depend on me, boy. You depend on yourself. Sure. And I will say this before I move on to the next thing, but it doesn't mean that we have to shrink back. Declaring to God, the living God, the vine, that we are nothing, that we are fully dependent on Him, doesn't mean that we have to shrink back. I'm nothing. Because it is in Him that we become everything. Because as we plug into Him, He gives. And He supplies. And He nourishes in abundance. It's a beautiful thing. When we need it. The branch has nothing but what it gets from the vine. The second thing I want to talk about is restfulness, actually. But a deep restfulness. Like I said just now, I've had a deep sense. I know that God has been challenging me in my works, in the things that I do. And often, when I do things, and I'm speaking, this is stuff that we all do, when we engage with people, when we encourage, when we love, when we serve, there's a deep responsibility in me that it must be right. That the outcome must be, and it must be God-honoring. And other Christians will look at it and go, that was good. But this scripture is showing me that I can just rest in Him. I really can. I can just rest in Him. If you think about the branch has no anxious thought or any cares in this world. Ooh, I wonder if I'm getting sapped today. I wonder what the other branches are getting. I bet you they're getting a lot of sap and I'm getting that rubbish sap from the... No anxious thought. Branch knows it's going to get exactly what it needs or not, when it needs it, when it thinks it doesn't need it. Branch will get exactly what it needs when it needs it. And there's something beautiful in that, just in resting in that. Knowing that I don't have to strive for things. Knowing that I don't have to push to get things right. Especially not to look right. Sometimes we seem to be fine until people come onto the scene. Then this fear of man starts kicking in. Oh, and we've got to do things well. God is like, chill. Just rest in me. Rest in me. I'm the one that'll do it for you. I'm the one that will supply. I'm the one that will provide. And I honestly do not think that from that we can become lazy or apathetic, having an attitude that says, Lord, I will not strive. I will trust in you. You will provide everything that I need. I don't believe we can get apathetic from that. Because when we avail ourselves to the Lord and we plug into Him in His goodness and His kindness, we can trust that He will provide. And He does. And He does in such a beautiful way. And when we receive through His Holy Spirit exactly what we need, we love more. We love Him more. We love people more. We don't have to try anymore. Because whatever we do comes out of what's in us. It's the Holy Spirit. This is why we need to be empty of ourselves. Because as long as there's anything of ourselves in us, we cannot be filled. Maybe topped up a little, because I'm so full of myself. Maybe just a little sprinkling and then it overflows. No, I want to be empty. I want all of Him in me. Not just on special occasions, not just during worship. And don't hear what I'm not saying. That is good. God fills us for power. To evangelize, to overcome sin, for all sorts of things. But there's a steady flow, a constant flow of the Holy Spirit that He desires for us all day, every day, 24/7, seeping into us, almost like a drip. And it's just feeding us, His Holy Spirit. Are we plugged in? Are we plugged in for this? Because it's there. Romans 5, verse 5. I'll read it. Don't stress. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. God's love is poured into our hearts. It is poured into our hearts. As branches, He pours His goodness into us. Third one, Fruitfulness. Sure, that word comes up a lot in that scripture. In John 15. A lot. He speaks about fruit and fruitfulness a lot. More than once. We've been called to bear fruit. We've been called to bear fruit. Not to manufacture it. Not to find it. Not to make it grow. We're called to bear fruit. Someone else makes the fruit grow. Someone else builds it. Someone else designs it. Someone else makes it what it is. And the beautiful thing is that it's different. The fruit is different. If you look at grapes and apples, they're different flavors. They're different, I want to say brands, but that's not the right thing. Different strains or something. John, help you. Cultivars. Cultivars. Yo, where's Jax? God is the vine dresser, and He'll take care of us. It's in the power of God through Jesus that we bear fruit. The power of God through Jesus, not us. And let me remind us, the world is desperate for people that bear fruit. The world is desperate for fruit. Can we withhold it? I mean, if you, just to use a crazy analogy, if a friend was ill and dying, and they needed a grape, a certain grape that would save their life, and the only place that that grape would come from is you, would we have it to give? There are people that aren't in church, that don't know Jesus, that have no knowledge of Jesus. There are people that come to church that have no knowledge of Jesus. The world is in desperate need of a church with healthy branches. Healthy branches. But don't confuse work and fruit. And going back to the branch offline, there may be a lot of work that isn't in line with what God's desire is, that isn't in line with what God's will is. Work's done apart from Christ. Things that we want in our own will, in our own needs, in our own desires. I think we can all do that a little bit. Jacques, you were talking about those things that we bring to the altar. Lots of those things. And a lot of them are subtle. We think they're good things. We'll be impressed by them. We'll think we're serving the Lord well. But He's going, no, you need to surrender that thing. It's not of me. It's of you. It's of your will. Sean, there's too much of your own will in this picture. And true fruitfulness is only possible through a very, very close connection. And when we do have these encounters with the Lord, they're so beautiful. These beautiful encounters where we know that the Lord is pouring into us. And we know it's good when we encounter the Lord. And we know that because we're encountering Him and we're spending time with Him and we're abiding in Him, there's fruit. And sometimes we'll know that there's fruit because He prunes as well. And those things that Jacques was speaking about that we need to stack on top of each other, it's hard. It's hard to find those things. And they don't all balance. What's that game you play where you have to stack things? Hey? Tetris. Tetra. Okay, that thing. You have to, it's colors and stuff, and you have to make them stack and balance, whatever. So, thanks. Yeah, Brendan's just going like, stop. Stop while you're ahead. Where was I going with that? The sin, and we wanna give that over, but we can't. And that's when He comes and He prunes. He helps us. The Father prunes us, and we don't always want it. We don't always avail ourselves for pruning, because sometimes it can be tough getting pruned. When you see scissors, it's like, ugh, the sword. Eesh. That sword comes, it cleans, it removes. Living stones. We're all living stones, packed tightly. We get chiseled. We get shaped into the right shape. God is the Father, the gardener, who watches over us. He tends. Sometimes, you know, I'm always fascinated, and I want to be like them often. These people that prune plants. I'm trying to think of a name for them. It's probably obvious, but pruners. They always look so professional. They know exactly. They sum it up in their chunks. They know exactly. They know where to cut off and where not to cut off. There's never any doubt in their mind. I never see anyone going like, let me check the book quickly. Oh no, let me rather. They know. And God is like that. He knows exactly where to trim. He knows exactly where to chop off the big pieces. Remove things even. Not just shorten things. To shape it into what He wants. But mainly so that where there is fruit happening, that when he snips, more fruit will come there. So it's almost a good thing. If we are being pruned, it's because there's fruit. And God is saying, I can work with that. I can work with that. There's absolute surrender here. There's fruit, and it's my fruit. And let me prune some more. Come here, boy. Let me prune you. Oh, and it's hard. And later on, there's more fruit. And more fruit comes. It's a beautiful thing, and you grow. Sometimes we resist, but we can't forget that He does the pruning to those that He loves. Hebrews 12, verse 5 says, for the Lord disciplines the ones He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. And then a little bit later in Hebrews 12, verse 11, He says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So there's pruning. But we have to be plugged in to be pruned. We don't want to fall off. We don't want to be broken off. And then the fourth one, close communion. Being close with the Lord. Abide in me. If you go back to John 15, that word abide appears so many times. Abide in me and I in you. As you abide in me, as I abide in you. I even looked it up. I'm like, this is too obvious. I know what abide means, but it's just simply stay, to stay in, to continue, to. So, and I think it was downstairs or one of the words that came through, just to remain in the Lord, to remain in Him, to remain in His love. And I think there have been times where many of us have experienced this. There's been times of abiding. There's been times of beautiful communion with the Lord. And even fruit. But somehow it doesn't always last. Or elements of it don't last. And abiding in Jesus just means maintaining a continuous, intimate fellowship. Not just occasional. Like we were saying just now, that sap is transferred all the time. It's not periodically. It's not every now and again. And even, I want to say, even in the busyness of life, we can maintain unbroken fellowship with Jesus. I want to say to the moms with little ones, where you're going like, serious, I can't even go to the loo on my own. We can find unbroken fellowship with Jesus because it's a posture of our hearts. It's how we plug into Him. It's how we lean into Him. It's how we love Him. It's how we adore Him. It's how we thank Him. It's how we posture ourselves towards Him. That is important. Private prayer and time alone with God, those are essentials. Just early in the morning, first thing when we get up, spending time with the Lord. And it doesn't have to be to a special schedule so that I can share. I did so many chapters today, or prayed for 12 people, or 35. No, it doesn't have to be like that. God wants our hearts, and He wants us to be intimate with Him during those times. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to commune with Him. So without regular communion, Christians can't stay healthy because we're not plugged in. We're not plugged into the vine. And then I think this is the last one. Absolute surrender. Absolute surrender. We spoke earlier about the branch being fully dependent on the vine. And I just want to read this because I don't want to lose this. That we are completely given up to how little or how much sap we are given. Completely given over to that. We will receive, and I'm completely given to plenty or less. It doesn't matter. And this means, as literally as Jesus was given up to God, we are given up entirely to Christ as He was. And even now, as I read that, I'm like, what? That is strong language. To be fully given up to Christ as He was fully given up to His Father. Wow. I think sometimes our language sounds more like this. I have my business. I have my family duties. I have my civic duties. PTA, parents club, dad's coaching committee. I have all of those things. And then on this side, I have my Christian obligations, my fellowship, my worship, my quiet time, my devotion to the Lord. And in fact, if I do these things well, it'll sort out some of the sin that is existent on this side. But that's not it. Jesus gave His blood for that sinfulness. Not stuff that we have to do. He gave His blood for that. He purchased us. He bought us at a price for our sinfulness. And if we look at those two things, true surrender means bringing them completely together into one. Everything that we do is in communion with Him, with the Father, being plugged in so that we can receive from the Holy Spirit to help us with all these aspects of life. Work, dealing with my boss, my marriage, issues, finances, all these things. God wants us to bring those two together. Yeah, surrender. We sang about it. We sang about it tonight. It's just growing healthy, deepening our love, deepening our experience, finding intimacy, giving over everything to Him, declaring our dependence on Him. The things that we think, areas that we don't need God because we got it, bringing all of those things to Him. So yeah, I'm gonna start wrapping it up now. And as I do that, there may be some of us that feel that we've plugged out. I was sitting at the dining room table today doing some prep, and on one of our shelves in the kitchen, there's a plant that is like a vine. It hangs down and it's got shoots and it's a climbing type of plant. In a pot, it gets the attention it needs and it's beautiful. It's green, it's soft. You can see even when the wind blows through the house, it blows. On the other side of the shelf, we've got a milk can, and Jack's found a branch with beautiful leaves and almost a string of them that she'd hung. She'd taken string and she'd just hung it on the milk can. It really looked pretty. But I was looking at it today and it's gone all dry. It's ready. I think if I just touched one of those leaves, it would fall off. Maybe even, it's gone all dry, so you could break it pretty easily. I think if I tried to untie it, there'd be a whole lot of stuff lying on the floor. And that's exactly what happens to us when we unplug. So maybe some of us have unplugged. And but no one really knows because we've been doing all the right stuff. But it's weighing heavy now. It's getting too much. I can't keep up anymore. And we start getting these little things of resentful, like I have to do stuff now. I have to be there. I have to join that. It's hard when we're not plugged in because we're not getting the nourishment that we need. And you'll know and I'll know what's in your heart and what's happening in your heart. And so maybe that's you tonight. And I'm trusting that there'll be an opportunity if you haven't done so already, because maybe this is a victory lap we're talking about, because you've already done that earlier on. But there may be some of us here who have never understood what it is to be plugged in, who have never experienced the love of Jesus, who've never experienced His saving grace. And I want to say to you, all is not lost. In fact, on both counts, all is not lost. Because God in His mercy is in the business of gardening and farming. He's a farmer extraordinaire. He's got a way to find a place that's been broken off. In fact, He can even cut off something and plug another thing in its place. And in Romans, He speaks about this. He speaks about, I can graft you back into the vine, or I can graft you into the vine with other people, with others. And you can be part of, and I will bring you into, I will adopt you into my family. And I want to tell you, as I was chewing on this and thinking about this vine and us who, in God's mercy and grace, have been grafted into this, so undeserving. One has to be cut off. You can't just graft. I think you probably can. There's a special technique. But the best way to graft something in is to cut a branch off. And Jesus did that. He did that for us. He was cut off so that we could be grafted in. What a beautiful image. That God in His love, because God is love, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. God is love, and He poured out His love on Jesus. He came down sacrificially. Emmanuel, Vachis, as you said earlier on. And He paid the price. He was cut off so that we could be grafted in. What a beautiful picture. And what a waste if He made space by being cut off. And those who He had in mind to be grafted in were not coming. And if that's you this evening, come. We'd love to pray for you and ask God to give you something of a desire to be grafted into His family, to be grafted into this vine. And for those of us that have perhaps been unplugged somehow, or we've unplugged ourselves, and we've just been going along, and in your mind you're thinking, no one ever knew. I'll just quietly come back. It's hard to come back when you're dry and brittle. But God can make a way for you, can graft you back in. And so I want to I don't even know what the time is. How much time have we got? Are we past? Hey? One past. Okay. Thanks, Xavier, for the precision. Father, we come to you, Lord, and we acknowledge, God, that there are times in our lives, Lord, and for many of us, long periods, Lord, where we've unplugged. Where the word abide hasn't been part of our vocabulary. Hasn't been our posture towards you, Lord. We've turned away. And for others of us, Lord, we've never, ever even plugged in. I want to say on both sides, if that's you, just pray this prayer with me now. Perhaps we can all pray this prayer with me. Just as we stand in solidarity with us. We're a community, we're a body. Let's just pray this prayer together. Lord, forgive me that I've unplugged. Forgive me, Lord, for my sin. I bring every one of my sins to you, Lord. In fact, Lord, I bring my heart to you. Thank you that you died on the cross. Thank you that you paid the price for me to be grafted back into your body. Thank you that you set me free. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who sustains me and keeps me. Thank you that you're a loving Father who cares for me. I turn away from my sin and run to you with the help of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.